this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Thanks, Chris. All right, bless you. What an amazing... One thing I noticed about C3, this church, when I came, was just how much talent is in this church and how much there's a love of beauty in this church. I love Christmas in this church. So, and proud dad moment, Ethan also played at the carols last night. He was the little drummer boy. Woohoo! Thanks to my boy. Yeah, but his training ground was here, wasn't it? Last year. So Chris has asked me to share just a brief message for you on Christmas, what Christmas means to me. And what I thought immediately about is times of joy, friends and family together, occasions like this, nativities, my daughter playing the angel. And a verse has been sitting on my heart for a little while. It's from Proverbs. It says, "The prospect of the righteous is joy." Right? The prospect of the righteous is joy. Proverbs 10:28. So I'm going to explore what this means for Christmas through two short stories for you. And I've got pictures for the kids. All right, so the Oxford Languages Dictionary says that the word prospect means the possibility or likelihood of some future event occurring. Like when the weatherman gives us the weather, they're giving us the prospects for the coming day. Right, but the prospect of the righteous is joy. We know what the righteous will get. It is joy. And the reason we have that joy is Christmas itself. And I'm going to explore that. So, and it also means, the word prospect means an extensive view of landscape. So when we look out to the future, the righteous have the promise of joy. Now, how is that the case? I'm going to explore that a little bit with you. Two stories. The first one is a friend of mine, Nickaby. So I've got a few stories that the guys at the desk will scroll through. In an earlier life, about 20 years ago, I was a youth leader in an Indigenous community. And that's me with some of the boys at the youth. We used to, and I'm going to tell you the story of young Nickaby, because God did amazing things in young Nickaby's life. So we used to go, in Indigenous community, you know that those of you that have been on the mission out west, that there's not much prospect of hope for young Indigenous men. Every Friday night, I was in the community five nights a week and all Sunday. And on Friday night, I would go in as the youth leader and round up all the boys in a 12-seater van. I'd have about 35 kids in this van. And then, and we'd take them, Jono knows what I'm talking about, and we would take them out to a place called Lianya, which is a very large public swimming pool. And the highlight of my week, I was working as a lawyer at the time, the highlight of my week was opening the door of that van and seeing the look on the white people's face in the pool as those kids went flooding in to that pool and a wave just went out from them, all screaming. And I did it twice because there was enough kids that would go back into the community, pick them up, pick another load up and take them back in this little van. And the cops knew us, they waved us through because they knew what we were doing, because they knew that these kids needed hope. So there was a young man. So yeah, as I go, just scroll through some of these and some of the photos of the young boys that were there. So about 10 years, I left in 2007 to move to Brisbane and to then marry my wife, Sarah. And in the community, we would take these boys, as I said, out to, and we would share with them the love of Jesus. And I had a period of 10 years after I left where I didn't go back. And I went back because I had a job there. And I went back into the community, first time in 10 years, and all of those boys were now young men. They all fled, heard I was were in the community, and they flooded back to see me. It was amazing that God had touched them in a way. They knew Jesus through the work that we had done, right? So they had met him. Now, some of the boys, as like many in that community, went on to substance abuse and so on. And in fact, one boy I did not recognize from the effect of the substances on him. And he was heartbroken when I couldn't recall who he was. But such was the legacy that we had left in their lives. Now, the one young man, Nickaby, you can see Nickaby's next to me with the A on his hat. Right, so young Nickaby, he was born, his mother had a health condition, which led to him in the womb having an intellectual disability, this health condition of the mother. And it's a very common thing in Indigenous communities. So he couldn't really string a sentence together. He couldn't say things. He would laugh wholeheartedly with his big belly laugh when you told a joke. He understood things, but he really couldn't articulate, right? But in that environment, ministering to them, sharing the gospel, he was touched by God in this. And I know this because about a month ago, I had a phone call from his mother. And she recovered from her health condition and she became one of the stalwarts of the church. And she was next to him in emergency, called me saying, "Mark, I want you to pray for Nickaby. He's got a sore throat." So he had asked Nickaby, this young intellectually disabled boy, 20 years after I left, 18 years, remembers the touch of Jesus through the influence of the ministry. And when he's in trouble, he says, "Call Mark to pray for me," because he remembers me as the youth leader. That's the touch of Jesus. That's the prospect of the righteous is joy, right? So he knew the joy of Jesus beyond his own mind because he didn't have the intellectual capabilities, but Jesus touched him. So I shared that message. I'm a lawyer and I'm involved with the New South Wales Christian Lawyers Society. And that was my Christmas message. And I said to the lawyers, "You're all intellectual people, but do you realise Jesus can touch someone without intellect? Do you realise you can know him as a person, right? Your life can be changed." So that's the first story I've got, young Nickaby. Now, how is it that people can know this joy? Romans tells us this. To those of you who haven't heard what the Bible message is, how is it that you can have such joy, that the prospect that you could have is joy? How is it then that you can be righteous? Romans tells us this, Paul, "To the one who does not work but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteous." So God somehow justifies the ungodly. So somehow I, the ungodly, became justified. And in that, I became righteous. That was through the young baby Jesus that we celebrate at Christmas. Somehow this ungodly person, this ungodly Nickaby, became righteous. And therefore, my prospect, Nickaby's prospect, is joy. Right? So the righteousness that comes from God is conferred through that young baby Jesus, belief in him, and him, when he grew up, his death. So the prospect of the righteous is joy, and we know that because of this baby Jesus we celebrate now. So that's the first man. The second man I've got for you is a man called Charles Finney. That's him there, right? Now, Charles Finney, I love Charles Finney because I'm a lawyer and he was a lawyer. But when he met Jesus, so when a lawyer is retained, engaged to act for a client, you have a retainer. Charles Finney, when he met Jesus, he walked back to his legal office. He had an incredible experience. He walked back to his legal office. He had a case that was on. He said to his client, "I have a retainer from the Lord Jesus. I cannot plead yours." And then he walks out of the office. This, if there was ever to be a patron, we don't believe in patron saints in C3 Church, but if there was ever a patron saint of the lawyers, it should be Charles Finney. So I want to just tell you a little bit about Charles Finney. Charles Finney was an intellectual man. He set out for 4 years to prove the Bible wrong. He read it rigorously to prove it wrong. And he realized, reading it, he had a sense and a burden that God was real. And he couldn't displace this sense. So he went into the forest. Because he was a lawyer, it mattered that people didn't see him coming to God and crying out for mercy. So this reading of the Bible for 4 years produced in him a hunger. He knew he wasn't right with God. So he went into the forest. And this is what he said. He wanted to go and settle the question of his salvation, having read the Bible, to disprove it. He said that he felt there was a wave of electricity going through and through me. Indeed, it seemed to come in waves and waves of liquid love. He said, "My heart was so overflowing with joy, I could not help laughing in a most spasmodic manner. It was irrepressible, holy joy." Right? This is a lawyer. Like, even lawyers are beyond redemption. I mean, not beyond redemption, right? So all is not lost for lawyers. But he was very clear in his subsequent ministry that joy wasn't just confined to that moment. It was a lifetime promise, right? So it was, like I said, the prospect of the righteous when we look forward into our future is joy for us, right? So he said, if you would seek the glory of God and the good of the universe as your supreme end, happiness would pursue you. So the point is, the Christian life is meant to be a life of joy. It's a life of loving on Jesus, reflecting upon him and receiving it. So how did he find that? He went into a forest and sat next to a log because he knew there was a hunger that he had to meet. So my question for you is, we're going to get time over Christmas. For those that are Christians here, we're going to get time over Christmas. What are you going to do with that time? We have joy with our family, joy with our friends, but do you have joy with Jesus? This man sought Jesus all the time. You know, like Jesus went off into the boondocks and prayed. Charles Finney did the same thing. Last night at the carols, Craig Stevens was praying. Craig's well known in the church here. And we prayed together before he went up to pray. And I prayed for Craig that the touch of Charles Finney would be upon him. Because, do you know what? Charles Finney spent so much time soaking in God. When he would pass through through a town on a train, conviction would fall upon the people in the town, even that he didn't stay there. Such was the conviction. So I prayed for Craig that conviction, when he prayed, that the people of the coast would feel that. So he got up and he prayed. It was a funny moment, actually. He got up and he prayed. And then I went out to see, and the salvos had set up a tent out the back. They'd set up a tent to minister. It was a salvos tent. And I walked up the stairs and saw the tent across the yard. And there was a long line coming out of the tent. And like a really long line of about 50 metres. And I thought, wow, the prayer worked. And then I realised everyone was facing the other way, and where they were going to was the Mr. Whippy truck. But I'm still believing that God can do this. Turn him around. So I said to Craig, it actually happened. Wow, look at that. No, okay, it was the Whippy truck. Anyway, so the point is, we have this. And I want to finish by saying to you that the Brownsville Revival, there's a lot of content here. The Brownsville Revival that broke out about 10 years ago, the pastor of that revival said it started in our home. So I want to ask you, is the prospect that you see when you look forward joy? Because it comes from that personal time with Jesus. So this Christmas, don't find the Yuletide log. Like Charles Finney, find a log and spend time with Jesus. I pray for hunger in your hearts, that you will meet him personally across this. You've got time off from work, spend it with him. Find the moments with him, because what you'll find is he will speak back to you, right, if you listen. So listen hard. So that's the prospect that we have as Christians. That's the promise of Christmas, that we will have a life where the entire prospect is joy because we have that fellowship with Jesus Christ, that young baby in a manger.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Jesus.